Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Trampoline Hall podcast. I'm your host, Misha Globerman. Trampoline Hall is a lecture series that takes place in a bar. People give lectures on all kinds of subjects, with the one restriction being that they can't lecture on subjects in which they are a professionally expert. And then after each lecture, we take questions from the audience. We've been doing this show for like 15 years. I'd say like 15 years, exactly 15 years. And it was not our intention. Like, when we started off, we didn't think we were going to be doing it for 15 years, but we somehow never stopped. It's become this kind of institution almost in Toronto, I think. We have sold out every show for 15 years, and like millions of people have taken part, as literally, I think, a million people now have lectured, and people have taken part in all kinds of ways. So the show is really old, but the podcast is really new, and we are just learning what it's like to take this live event and send it out to like people who aren't there. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter or on Facebook or on the web itself, and all these ways. It's Trampoline Hall, or easy to find. If you have comments, if you have thoughts, if you have questions, please get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. That's our call to you, the audience. But now let's get on to the lecture. I should warn you, it might contain mature language, because it always, always might. Even the title, in fact, is Letting My Balls Drop. And the lecturer is Mark Slutsky.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I wanted to talk about harnessing the power of the unconscious mind. And specifically how I tried to harness the power of my unconscious mind and how I failed spectacularly. I sort of picture my unconscious mind like a giant bakery, a big industrial bakery with a little shop out front. Mysterious things happen in this bakery. There's machines going and gears turning and employees running around. And I'm not really sure what's going on in there, but every once in a while, they'll deliver a little pastry or a loaf of something to a little shop out front, where a hapless employee tries to sell it to passersby. Now, in this analogy, I am the hapless employee, or at least myself, my sense of Mark, who I am, and the industrial bakery is my unconscious mind. And I don't really know what's going on in there, but occasionally they give me something to deal with. And like a bakery, it usually happens overnight, and I tend to wake up with either an idea in my mind, or a pun, or a solution to a problem. Frequently it's a bad pun, but sometimes it's like a big life thing. Like last month I woke up and I realized I had to leave my job of 10 years. I was a film critic for a Montreal newspaper, and I liked the job very much, but my unconscious decided it was time to go, and it was the right decision. And I'm very happy that I did. Nothing against my old job. So even the idea for this talk really kind of came to me that way. There was a going away party for me from this job, and my boss had instructed my now former coworkers to try and get me as drunk as possible, because that's sort of his thing. And they did. I was the only one. It was a Tuesday night. And I got home, and I fell into a sort of fitful sleep, and I had this dream that I was walking around New York City with my cat in my arms, desperately looking for a glass of water, because you know how it is when you go to sleep and you've had a few drinks and you get really thirsty, but you can't wake up enough to... Anyways, I was woken up super early, unexpectedly, by the Hydro-Québec guy, the power company, who was there to install a new power meter. This one is digital instead of the things. And as I stood there, totally hungover, in my underwear, listening to him drill and scrape and like put this thing on, I started thinking about that idea that you can get ideas in your sleep. And I thought, well, maybe I can harness that power somehow and sort of more consciously, let's say, order the pastries from my, to just, you know, overextend that metaphor completely, from the bakery. And what that led me to was thinking about how Einstein, Albert Einstein, I guess I have to say, which other one would it be, he used to do this thing, and it actually might not have been Einstein, because I mentioned it to Sheila, and she thought it was Salvador Dali who did this. So, and I Googled it for 5 seconds and couldn't find anything, so I just decided to say both. So when he had a particularly difficult physics problem, or art problem, if it was Dali, he would do this exercise where he would sit in a comfortable chair in his home, and he would hold a ball in his hand, and he would sort of... That's was it Edison? I don't know. It was like smart guy, whatever. So he would sit there and he would it was usually be at night, and he'd let himself drift off into what is called the hypnagogic state. That is the state somewhere between wakefulness and sleepfulness. And he found, and I find this as well, that it was a very sort of useful mental state when you're trying to do some creative problem solving. The only problem is, like, if you've ever gone to sleep and or gone to bed and had an idea and thought, this is a great idea, I'll remember it in the morning, you never remember it. So his trick was, he would hold the ball, and as he would gradually lose consciousness, his hand would relax, the ball would drop to the floor, and the sound of it hitting the floor would wake him up, and then he would write it down. So that I thought that would be a great idea. And I thought I would do an experiment on myself where for a couple of nights running, I would try that and see if that helped with my life at all. Because I'd left my job, but I had taken on a lot of other responsibilities and jobs, and there was all just a bunch of shit that I, you know, there was a lot of knots that I had to untangle. So I thought I would do that experiment and see if doing that would allow me to access my unconscious mind, and in doing so, you know, help me with these problems that I had to solve. And just to say, it didn't, and I failed, but I'll tell you how. So I went to my I went to my study, and I had a comfortable chair there, my study, whatever, the room in my house, and I have a comfortable chair, and I don't really, the only ball I found in my house was a pétanque ball, which is like a bocce ball. It's like a heavy, very heavy metal ball, and I thought it would dent the floor or break my toe, so I found an empty tin of Altoids on my desk. So I sat down, and I sat there holding a tin of Altoids, and I tried to let myself go, and it was difficult because, you know, I was trying to be self-conscious and observe myself thinking. At the same time, I was trying to be in a state of kind of unconsciousness. So it was difficult. And the whole time I was thinking about the tin and whether I was going to drop it or not. But certain images did begin to visit me. At one point, I kind of thought I was in a jungle with a tribe of people who were trying to abandon me. I guess they were trying to ditch me. At one point, I thought there was a dog in my room coming up to my face. And I didn't really get anywhere on that first go, except for those sort of random images. But it was only 10 p.m., and I usually go to bed kind of late, so I thought I'll try again in a few hours. So a few hours later, I tried again, and again, I did get some things, images, almost hallucinations. But I found that they were mostly, instead of, you know, great ideas or solutions to problems, they were mostly just sort of almost collages of things that I've been thinking about or doing in my everyday life. For instance, at one point, I thought I was on an exercise bike, riding really fast, while a rabbi in like full Hasidic regalia stood next to me and egged me on, while holding out a tray of chocolate cake, like cutting the squares. And I had asked I think I remarked to the rabbi that the reason why I was doing so well on the bike was because of the cake. And the rabbi said, "It's not the cake, it's your soul." And I don't know, somehow that is a perfect distillation of whatever I was preoccupied with that week. So I did that. I never dropped the tin that night. So I went to bed and I thought I'd start again the next day. And I did. And again, it was frustrating. I felt like I was sort of diving. I felt like I was sort of swimming in an ocean of consciousness, and I would dive down and grab something from the deep, and I'd swim up with it. And as soon as I got to the surface where I could see it, it had dissolved in my hands. Like it seemed like any thoughts that I had at that point were made up of the same thought material as dreams. You know, dreams are just impossible to remember. They fall apart like wet newspaper. So I don't know. I kept trying. I even brought out the batonk ball at one point and tried to hold, but I was just. I just couldn't figure out how to hold it, and I was pressing against the thing, and it was just terrible. And I was laying there all night, and I tried lying on my couch. I was up till like 4 or 5 in the morning doing this. And I got frustrated because I wasn't getting anywhere, and I thought, okay, I'm going to try a more direct approach. Instead of trying to like mystically meet my unconscious mind in like a friendly space, I will give it an order. I will order up a pastry, if you will, and I'm gonna give it a job to do overnight while I sleep. So I thought, I don't know why I thought this, but I thought, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna have my mind produce a dirty limerick for me while I sleep. And I'm not a limerick guy or anything, but I just thought that would be, I don't know, I just thought that would be good. So I went to sleep and I was like, limerick, limerick, dirty limerick, dirty limerick. I was like lying in bed, dirty limerick, limerick. And I had a very fitful sleep. And I woke up and I just felt like shit. Like I felt hungover. My brain felt like exhausted. And I ran to my tape recorder, and I just sort of like blurted this thing into it. And I'm just gonna say right now, this was not a gift from my unconscious mind. This was just me desperately trying to salvage this experiment. And what it was like the saddest, most desperate, pathetic limerick I've ever heard, and you've probably ever heard. And I have it here. Do you want to hear? And I was very tired. I'm just going to say all this right now because hopefully you can hear it through this thing. It's really bad. I'm actually embarrassed to press play here.
There was a young boy named Peru who didn't know what to do. He looked around all over the town and didn't know what to do.
So bad. So bad. I didn't even know whether I could go through with playing it for you. But that's like, that felt like a very intimate something. Thanks. You shouldn't applaud that. Anyway, as I stood there, like, completely humiliated and ashamed of myself, I began to realize that the entire premise of my experiment was false. I can no longer harness my unconscious mind than a sock puppet can harness the hand inside it. You know? Or a shoe can harness the athlete wearing it, if I be so bold. But my conscious mind, it occurred to me, is just a sort of layer between myself or my unconsciousness and the rest of the world. It's just like the guy out front. It's just like the schmear on top of the bagel of my mind. And that any attempt to harness it was foolish and doomed to failure. And as if to drive that point home, my mind then gave me the worst migraine of my life, and it lasted 3 days. Thank you very much.
Mark Slutsky, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Trampoline Hall Podcast. I'm Misha Goldman. Up next, the Q&A.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Are there any questions? I'm assuming the woman who's had her hand up since before the lecture is even over might be a good slush.
No, it's an easy question.
All right.
I don't know if I missed it, but you said you quit your job.
Yes.
Because of some feelings.
Well, everything I do is because of some feelings. But
did you wake up having a dream, or did you have some sort of waking feelings?
I had like thought about it a little bit over the past year, and then I woke up one day and I was like, fuck, why did I have to do this now? You know what? Like, you just know.
But you think it was because of the sleep, you couldn't have had that in the afternoon?
The question is, you couldn't have figured that out in the afternoon? You have to be asleep to know that you're
kidding. Yeah, no, I don't think I would have come to that conclusion just like rationally. I think I needed to wake up knowing it.
But could you have had it irrationally in the middle of the day?
Could you have it irrationally? Wait, in the middle of the day while he was awake, you mean?
Yeah.
So could you have had that irrational? Can you have an irrational, a usefully rational feeling while you're awake?
Is yeah, that there is a situation where that's possible, and that is when I'm taking a shower. For some reason, sometimes I get an idea doing that. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay. Thank you. I'm not totally.
I'm glad that satisfies you. Did you have a question? Yes, you sir.
Have you considered therapy?
Have you considered therapy?
No, for what specifically? Like, for the stuff I'm talking about, or does it just seem to you that I need it?
The communication with your employee and the factory.
Oh, yeah, well, maybe I would have, but like I said, I think it's, the employee doesn't need to know what's going on. Like, just sell the pastry.
And they hate that. If you, if you went to a therapist and you're like, I feel there's a really good dirty limerick somewhere in me, but I need you to help
That's
me get it
That's something I would consider.
They're going to be like, but yeah, it's not what they studied for. So you're happy. So you're happy in general with that relationship where you're like, you don't have to go visit the factory.
I'm resigned to it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yes, you ma'am. Yes.
I'm just wondering, because the rabbi came to you with pastries.
Yeah.
If that metaphor was already in your mind.
It wasn't at that time, but maybe it was going on in the fact, you know, it could have been somewhere something was happening with that, but yeah, good.
So just to be careful, so those who didn't hear the question, you didn't have the factory, the bakery metaphor of your unconscious before the rabbi showed up. Okay.
So I'm not sure what the cause or effect was.
So for people who are like, oh, the baked goods represent the unconscious, no, they couldn't have at that stage.
But maybe they did. I don't know.
Maybe they did already.
Yeah. So it's not mine to venture against.
Who knows? Only inside. Only inside.
Maybe I'll
there.
Wake up and look
okay. Out. All right. I'm sorry. I pointed at your head when I said that. I now feel bad about
that's
that.
That's usually where it happens.
Okay. I felt weird about it. Yes, you ma'am. Yes.
If your narrative were a short story, what would the moral to it be?
What's the moral? What are the young people to learn from your
talk? Don't fuck with the bakery. <It's okay. laughs>
Awesome. Yes, you ma'am. Right, so what makes you think, for instance, that the rabbi by the bike with the baked goods, like, how do you know that's
a very good
question.
I think it was a failure because I was looking for something else, and I think maybe they were successful in a way that maybe I was looking for the wrong thing, and maybe the image of the rabbi with the cake was, you know, something I should be content with rather than, like, a little limerick to tell my friends, you know? So I think you're right.
Were you expecting a limerick the whole time?
Not specifically a limerick. I just wanted something good. I don't know. Something like an idea for a thing. I don't know. I don't know what I see. That was the whole point. I wasn't really sure what I was looking for.
When you asked about the rabbi, like when you said about the thing about the rabbi with the baked goods and the exercise bike, you were like, you preceded that by saying like, I was hoping for interesting things, but all I really got was just collages of my real life. And then you gave us that image. And is that image in some way like a collage of what your week was like?
Yeah.
What happened?
I had gone to meet this rabbi.
Okay.
I had, and this Hasidic rabbi, because I'm working on a film about a rabbi, and so I went to meet this guy, and I went to his house in Côte-des-Neiges in Montreal, and he was a wild guy. He has his own clothing line inspired by... I'm not kidding. Inspired by Ed Hardy. He was an ex-volleyball player. This rabbi was very much, you know, in my mind.
Right.
At the time. And chocolate cake always.
It's just always.
Exercise out of preoccupation with, I don't know.
Whatever. So it was just like, it was just sort of like if you had like a to-do list of like things to think about, it really would just be like rabbi
yeah,
exercise.
Yeah, it was just
cake.
Like, oh, this is what you were doing this week. Like, let's put it all together. And
okay. All right. Yes, you ma'am.
Do you actually wake up with puns?
Do you actually wake up with puns sometimes?
I can't think of anything, like, now I'm blanking, but, like, I'll just wake up with the stupid... Usually it disappears, but, like... That's my process.
Is it a real pun, though, or is it like you wake up with, like, what you think is a good pun? Like, when you're stoned and you have a really good idea, and you're like, oh, that doesn't make any sense at all, or you're just like, oh, that's just the car. I've just invented the car. I'm like, you know...
I think it would depend on your sense of humor.
Right. So if your target audience was people who had just woken up,
yeah, exactly.
If you're like that,
or were falling asleep,
it's asleep. You could do if there was like if you could do like nap time,
yeah, exactly.
at a place or like a really late
entertainment for drowsy people.
Great. Okay. Yes, you ma'am. Yes.
So you seem very certain that your Peruvian limerick about not knowing what to do was something that you just generated because you wanted an answer, but. Really disappointed if you found out that was what was being baked back there?
Oh, so you think that actually is like that's the best thing they've got in the bakery is like a limerick where do and do rhyme. And you think that he thinks they've got something better that they're not giving him, but that actually is like fresh out of the that's it, that's what they've got.
It's a horrifying possibility.
have you thought about that?
I've thought about a lot of things. That is possible. That is possible. We can hope that there's something better there than just like do rhyme.
And it's true. It is one of those. It is part of the assumption, and it's an assumption I think is a common one. Is that somehow deep inside of us, there's this part of us that's like smarter. You know, on the outside, I don't seem that smart, but inside, there's this thing that's like just solving like a physics problem every half minute.
We only use 10% of our brain.
And that 90% is. Not just like, you know, whatever, regulating our heartbeat, but it's like, you know, unifying the fields or whatever.
I have to believe that I'm actually smarter than I really am. Just to keep going.
Okay. All right, okay, fair enough. All right, anything else? You're pointing at someone? Yes, you sir, yes.
So it seems you said a big experiment with the ball, and you used, on the one hand, a dangerously heavy ball, and on the other hand, an object which, if I understand correctly, is not a ball. Is it possible that there's some object which is a midpoint between those two things?
So maybe you just didn't drop
Good
the right
question.
Object.
I didn't have time to mention it, but at one point during my sleepless night of experimenting, I filled the Altoids tin with different combinations of coins to try different weights, and it didn't work. Oh no! But at one point I actually did drop it. I didn't mention this, but at one point it actually did drop. Dropped once, and I woke up and I was like, dropped! What am I thinking? Nothing was there. There was nothing.
It's nice to think that the only thing you would think is like, oh, what's that? Like every time you're like, oh, I dropped something.
I did it.
Dropped something.
I got nothing.
Yeah. Does anyone know whose thing that is? Like, is it Dali? Is it Einstein? Does anyone know?
Edison.
I thought it was Edison. Someone thinks it's Einstein. Who do you think it is? Margaret Thatcher? Are you just saying that because you like to yell Margaret Thatcher in a crowded theater? Yeah, okay, good.
I bet it's totally apocryphal. That would be my guess.
All right, yes, you say,
I just wonder if you could hear the limerick again.
You'd like to hear the limerick again?
Do you guys want to hear it? I mean...
It's not so much a question as a request, but do you want to...
Do you guys want to hear it again? Really bad guys.
Why is it because you felt that on first listening that there were subtleties that you might have missed? Like, are you like, I want to hear the beginning knowing how it ends because I think that'll show more. There's things I might not have caught. Sorry to make fun of
it. No. It's you should make fun of this.
Right. What's the guy? Before you play it, I couldn't hear so much. What was the name of the main character, the protagonist in the limerick?
Peru.
His name is Peru.
I didn't even come up with a name. Like it's a country.
All right, okay.
Okay, you're not allowed to laugh.
There was a young boy named Peru who didn't know what to do.
What did the fan have to turn off now?
He looked around.
You can hear me thinking.
All over the town and didn't know what to do.
So bad. So bad.
You know, there is the saying that it's always best to end on a limerick. So yeah. maybe we should do that.
Classic.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank
Mark Slutsky, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Trampling Hall was created in Toronto in the 21st century by Sheila Hedy and is hosted by me. This episode's lecture was chosen by Sheila Hedy. The podcast is produced by Josh Block. Our theme music was composed by Matt Smith. Trampling Hall is a Sumo Audio podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook and the World Wide Web. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can really help us out by leaving a rating or review on iTunes. That really helps us out a lot. I am Misha Globerman. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.